Hello, everyone. This is another JCR Author Podcast. My name is Marcus Keister. I'm one of the co-editors of the Journal of Consumer Research, and I'm here with...
June Kott, another one of the editors of Journal of Consumer Research.
We are here with the authors of this year's JCR Best Paper Award winner, Donna Hoffman and Tom Novak, and the paper's called Consumer and Object Experience in the Internet of Things, an Assemblage Theory Approach. Let's turn it over to the authors.
Hi, I'm Donna Hoffman, professor at George Washington University.
And I am Tom Novak, also professor at George Washington University in DC.
Okay, guys, it's great to have you with us. First of all, congratulations on winning the JCR Best Paper Award. That's a great honor. You have won this award for a conceptual paper that is based on assemblage theory and object-oriented ontology. And the paper details how consumer experience and object experience emerge in the Internet of Things. So tell us a little more about that.
The paper is sort of stemmed from our own experiences interacting with smart objects in our own lives and starting to wonder about what was emerging from these interactions that we were having, because we noticed over time these sort of routine kind of habitual interactions seemed to be leading to something, that there was something coming out of that was kind of more than just what these kind of device-to-device interactions might predict. And that's sort of what got us started on the path of thinking about it.
So Tom, just to follow up on what Donna just said, how am I supposed to imagine this? One day you're in your house and the Roomba vacuum cleaner sort of drives by and you go like, what does this thing think or believe and how does it feel? Or how, you know, how...
There's some of that, but I checked my Amazon purchase history and actually we didn't get our first Echo device until early 2016. So interactions with Alexa, that's not the explanation because they hadn't happened yet. But it's really, we had been thinking about this stuff, I think. The smart home was starting to emerge. I think back in 2014 is when we really started thinking about IoT research. So one thing we were doing at the time was in DC, there were all these meetups for Internet of Things. It was really new. There were a lot of startups. There's a lot of excitement around there. And so we started going to those things. And that kind of got us thinking. There was this company, Smart Things, that was based in Georgetown at the time. They were then acquired by Samsung. We talked to them. We also were going to the Consumer Electronics Show all the time at that point. And I remember back in 2014, in January, was like one of the years that all these things started happening with the smart home. So it wasn't necessarily stuff that we were talking to our Roomba, but we were like kind of getting immersed in more the broader environment of what was happening. And it seemed like it had been about maybe 20 years since there was something that exciting, which is when the web first emerged.
I'll just add though that we were, I think we did have some of those IFT recipes, like even though we didn't have Alexa, you know, it wasn't really Alexa at that point, there were ways to connect devices. And so we noticed that we had kind of this our own emergent need for devices to talk to each other. And there was some way to do that was pretty bootleg. And as Tom said, we were super interested in that. And so we just started to explore what could be done through all these different mechanisms, and then started to think about, you know, sort of conceptually, what would this mean?
Well, actually, Donna, that's great that you brought up conceptually, because that was kind of leading to the question I wanted to ask. And maybe we'll start with you, Donna. You use assemblage theory in your paper. And I'm wondering, can you tell us a little bit about how you came to that theoretical lens and why it made sense for you?
So I'll let Tom answer part of this, but the first part of it is we searched for maybe a year, reading a lot of literatures to try to find some theory that would explain what we felt was happening, where all these devices were interacting with each other. There were all these many-to-many interactions, and that something was emerging from that. That was more than just could be accounted for by these interactions. And so I was reading a lot of books on, systems research and a lot of work from operations research and information systems research and a lot of the, you know, actor network theory, a lot of work from sociology, but nothing was quite right, you know, to sort of capture complexity theory. I was looking at self-replicating theories from biology, and nothing was right until this fateful day. And I think I'll turn it over to Tom to explain that.
Yeah. And so just also to kind of add to what Donna's saying, I went through my my computer and found this paper, not really a paper, but it's like a research agenda we wrote. So the various earliest thing I can think of that tried to put together some things on talking about is from 2014, like around May 2014. And this is the time we were going to all those different conferences and things like that. And I'm looking in here right now, and there's this one question: what makes the whole more than the sum of the parts? What is happening here? And the word assemblage theory doesn't appear in any of this, right? So as Donna's saying, we're looking for theories that explain that. But we had the sense that there was something that was emerging from all these interactions, but we couldn't quite put a finger on how to approach it. And then I think specifically what caused everything to click was that year, it was ACR 2014 in Baltimore. There was a perspective session that Amber Epp and Eileen Fisher and Robin Caniford chaired that we kind of wandered into because it looked really interesting on the program. And it's like, you know, this seems like this kind of is relating to the stuff that we're doing. And so we sat in there and we left as altered researchers after that.
And then we wrote, 150 page monograph, putting out all our ideas, like just trying to put everything down on paper of how we kind of saw these theories leading to a greater understanding of consumer IoT interactions.
Yeah. And it's not, I think it's also, we're trying to kind of think through the ideas, and writing it down was a way for us both to kind of think through what the explanation could be and how it made sense.
On that very note, this is a situation that I think a lot of JCR authors are familiar with. You have, you know, a substantive domain that you're interested in, maybe a problem, a phenomenon. And then you also have this what we often call enabling lens or enabling theory. But, you know, it's one thing to sort of read theorizing outside of consumer research and another to make that theorizing accessible to consumer research and to colleagues who are interested in consumer behavior. How did you guys make that transition? And how did you sort of get to own the sort of DeLanda assemblage theory complex?
I think we just wanted to, it wasn't accessible when we began, right? I mean, it was a foreign language. So we wanted to make it accessible to ourselves. And I think that's just what that process was of let's try to understand this and, you know, try to figure it out and then reconfigure it in a language that would make sense for what we were trying to study. So at least I don't think we were sitting there thinking, how do we make this accessible to others? I think it was, how do we make it accessible to ourselves? And I remember we were reading a lot of papers, like, you know, the Caniford and Shanker paper on, you know, surfing, right? So I forget the name, you know, assembling something. I forget the name of that paper, but, you know, I've read that paper like 20 times. And, you know, the first five times I read that paper, I didn't understand what they were saying. So I felt like we had to learn another language, another kind of research that we knew would have the answers that would help us understand something we really wanted to understand. And I think that's really how that happened organically.
Okay. So then among the first readers of your earlier drafts, I suppose, were the JCR reviewers who submitted the paper to JCR. And Donna, perhaps take us a little bit through the review process. What was your experience in the process? How did you guys develop this sort of consensual understanding of what it is that you guys wanted to do in the dialogue with the review team?
I guess I should say first, we wrote the monograph, and then I don't remember how it happened, but we posted it and people saw it. Tom, do you remember how it came to be? people exactly. saw, I don't remember. Some people saw it. And I remember at another ACR conference, colleagues said, you know, you should write that up. Because I don't know that we were even thinking about it, right? Because it was conceptual. And we're empiricists, right? We do analytic work, computational work, experimental work. So although we have done conceptual papers in the past, but I don't even know what we were thinking. And we were encouraged to find a way to write that up and submit it as a conceptual paper to JCR. So we did that. And then the review process, I mean, it was really intense, but it was pretty good. I think it was really good. We got really detailed. I mean, I would say the team was really engaged and really helped us shape that paper. It was a lot. I don't know. Tom, do you want to say more?
Yeah, it's hard to remember exactly how the paper changed during the review process, but it's like this thing where you incorporate the changes and then it's just a lot better than it was. And it's kind of like, you wonder, why didn't we do it that way the first time? Cause this is so much better. I mean, it definitely was helpful. It was, there's good review processes. We've had bad review processes. This one was really good in the sense that it was really stimulating. You know, sometimes you feel like you're being taken in directions you don't want to go, but this was kind of the opposite. This was like helping us think through things and present it more clearly. But one thing that I think is interesting is when we, first started this before assemblage theory, my recollection, Dawn, is that since we had published that earlier paper way back on the internet in JM, that we were thinking of doing a conceptual piece for JM on IoT. And after, again, going back to the assemblage theory session after that, it was like, oh no, this is clearly JCR. This is the direction we want to take this to.
You know, we had colleagues who had seen the monograph and, which I still don't remember how that happened, but who and said this could be a JCR paper. Have you thought about that? And we hadn't thought about that, you know. And then we started to think about that, and then we thought, well, that's going to be a lot of work, but it was great. It was really good, and we submitted it, and everybody was so encouraging. But wanted us to do a lot. And I do remember, I don't remember if we went through two rounds, but maybe on the second round, it was conditionally accepted, except the conditional acceptance had 9 detailed, you know, 5 pages, single spaced of all the things we had to do. And the attitude was, we know you can do this, so we're going to conditionally accept it. But you have a lot to do, but we trust you, but you have to do it. So that was kind of interesting. And then that took like another year to work out all the, there was a lot of things we were really pushed to work out theoretically. And I think that, you know, clearly the paper really benefited from that.
Wonderful. And it's clear the paper has had major academic impact as people are citing your work. It's just won this Best Paper Award. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that impact and how you've experienced it, both from the academic impact, but also from the practitioner or, you know, its reception, the reception of these ideas in the broader world beyond academic theory.
Well, when we were, when the paper was finally a paper, not just the monograph, so it was more digestible, we wrote kind of a shorter managerial piece that we would circulate with companies we were working with. And one of the things that was really exciting, this was before it was published or, you know, anything. And what was exciting was that the people in companies completely got it. They had no trouble accepting the idea that you could, that experiences would emerge from these interactions, that the objects themselves could have experiences because they interact with each other. And then we had this idea, which we do talk about very briefly in the JCR paper, but which we developed more for our managerial practical side, which was this notion of bottom-up interaction. And so in our consulting work, we would advise companies, rather than focus on these kind of top-down product development perspective of, oh, there's five use cases for the IoT, comfort, security, that sort of convenience. That's how things are marketed. The idea was, we don't know what the experiences are that are going to emerge because consumers are creating the experiences, not marketers. And they're creating them from these bottom-up interactions. And then there's this idea that, you know, millions of consumers are creating their own experiences, but through these through this repetition, these experiences kind of gel into a smaller number of themes, which can be discerned. And so that kind of nascent idea, which we now have another paper where we completely have explored that idea, but that idea was, you know, kind of buried in the JCR paper. And I think managers really like that because they had this intuition that that's what was happening, that you get these devices in the home, people are going to interact with them. We don't really know what they're going to do with them. We don't really know what they want to connect with something else. And the way to find out is just give them the space to do that, you know, build the product so that can be facilitated. So we felt like, well, even if this doesn't, you know, get published or, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in JCR, we knew that it was a good idea, you know, practically, that it had resonance and it was easy to explain to people. We would have slides on assemblage theory in these company talks. And they wouldn't glaze over. They kind of got the idea of, you know, the whole is more than the sum of the parts, right? People got that and they wanted to know, well, how can we develop our products so that we can encourage people to use these capacities?
Hey, it's the JCR Author Podcast, and June Cott and I are sitting down with Donna Hoffman and Tom Novak, the co-authors of the award-winning Consumer and Object Experience in the Internet of Things paper, which just won the JCR Best Paper Award. Every once in a while, guys, a paper comes along that adds to the marketing lexicon a completely new vocabulary on how to look at consumer behavior and consumption. Yours arguably is one such paper, but in a way, you guys are posing more questions than answers, right? So the question that I have now is, where do you guys see the frontiers for future research in this particular case? Where do we need to go next, building on and extending what you guys offered in your work?
So I think that's a good question. I think one of the things that we're especially interested in going forward is from that paper, the four different types of experience. And I think this is very topical given everything that's happening with social media and politics, just not in the US, but around the world, but the idea of these reduction experiences. So this idea of kind of when you interact with something, you're part of this assemblage, you're getting some benefits from it, but at the same time, it somehow diminishes you as a person. And so we see that with people getting stuck in social media, they feel like they can't get out, but they feel bad. And so it's kind of a negative path, but these are all kind of, they all kind of go together. I mean, you're going to be you're going to be expanded, you're going to be more than you are, but there's always this risk that you can become less than you are. And the question is, like, how could maybe people avoid that? How can consumers be better off if they could avoid these reduction experiences? So that's one area that I think I'm particularly interested in. And this goes back even before us. I mean, one of the people that influenced me in particular was Jaron Lanier when he wrote the book, You Are Not a Gadget. And he talked a lot about this stuff back in 2010. And so that, I think, I mean, there's a lot of things that kind of tie in there. And what Donna said about companies being interested in this idea of people creating assemblages from the bottom up. I mean, I think they're interested because, you know, it creates more varied consumer behaviors, maybe more purchases, but there's still this temptation to lock the devices down top down. So Alexa, on the one hand, I think is a very top-down device. It really kind of limits you, but it's only bottom-up when you start connecting it to other things. And so there's this kind of balance between what companies are trying to do, which is have control from top-down, but with IoT, if there's enough hooks, people can kind of go and play with that and do things beyond that. I don't know, maybe this is a little bit far afield, but one of the things that concerns me is something like with the metaverse, with Facebook taking it over and becoming top down. I spent an embarrassingly large amount of time in Second Life in 2008 with various research projects, and that was all bottom up then. People were creating things from bottom up. But that doesn't seem to be the vision now. So the other big theme, I think, is this kind of bottom up versus top down approach. In addition to consumer experiences, the benefits to not just consumers, but to the world at large of bottom up approaches instead of top down.
That's wonderful. And again, this is June Cott, and along with Marcus Giesler, we are so honored to have had this conversation on the JCR podcast with authors Donna Hoffman and Tom Novak.